great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb.
Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Dr. Matthew Broman, the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Akaten, Alaska. And I want to welcome you to this hour program that focuses on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You may be feeling hopeless. Everybody else, you're like, everybody else is excited about 2025, but not me. And you've got all these reasons. Well, I want to tell you something. There is always hope in Jesus Christ. Maybe you're like this religious man we're going to look at today. He couldn't put it all together. He knew there was something about Jesus, but he just couldn't put it together. And we're going to look at John 3. If you have your Bibles, open that up. I want to give a big shout out to everyone as we welcome in this new year, 2025. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then let's listen to music focused on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity on this Hour of Hope. Lord, I pray that everyone would be thinking about the hope they have in Jesus Christ, not the other stuff. I thank you, you're in control. I thank you, we can trust you and bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new. That day, gone is the curse from which I stumbled and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No. Never crying again, and praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen. The nations bow down to see. The only sound is the praises to Christ our King. Slowly the names from the book are dread. No more
And that was a wonderful No More Night. I've got a lot more good music on the hope we have in Jesus Christ. One of the ones that I think of, and we all know that many times kids' songs can be some of the best of all. And there's this cartoon called VeggieTales. It's about vegetables, teaches Bible content. But one of the songs they have is On the Hope We Have in Jesus. Be sure and listen to the end. It sets up like a Christmas song, the man struggling with death, and you'll hear the cucumber say, "Well, where's the hope in that?" And the answer is believing in Christ, because with Christ there is no. Let me read you 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. If you want to get a hold of me, my email is MATHEW, V as in Victor, ROMIMAN at gmail.com. Here's what 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 57 says. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory over death in Christ. So enjoy this song. And then we'll go into a great old hymn called My Hope is Built on Nothing Less than Jesus Christ is righteous. It talks about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ and building our lives on that hope. Did you enjoy that song, that hymn? Did you know it? Did you sing along with that wonderful congregational singing? So wonderful. Let's look at a little bit of John chapter 3 today. John chapter 3. What I'm going to do, I'm going to read the first verse and second verse, and that will lead us into a couple more songs, and then we'll come back and do the Bible study in John chapter 3. And I would really encourage you to have your Bible, get your Bible, and open it up to John chapter 3. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to look at John 3. Pray you clarify our minds and focus and very much understand about Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
There's a story that started on Christmas when a baby was born in the night. And those who came far, who followed this star, were seeing a heavenly sight. A heavenly with the touch of his hand. He was born to be king. He was rabbi and priest. The best that he had, he gave to the least. He gave to the least. He was born and he died almost 2,000 years ago. Like no one they'd heard, the simple young carpenter, crowds hung on every word. He hated injustice, he taught what is right. He said, I'm the way and the truth and the light. His friends soon believed that truly he was the one, the Savior, Messiah, God's one and only Son. But
hey. Where's the hope in that?
If that was the end of the story, there'd be no hope. But it isn't.
God has made a way for all who mourn and grieve. Death will never be the end if you just hope. He rose. He died for us to give us life and to give us hope. He rose.
My hope is built on
Now we're in John 3. A man comes to Jesus late at night. Verse 1 and 2 reads, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man could do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." He comes to Jesus at night. his religious leader. He was one of the 70 top religious leaders. When it says he was one of the rulers of the Jews, meaning when they had questions about religion or culture or what they're supposed to do according to the law, he was one of the 70 they came to. Civil, they came to him. He was a man that would have known the Old Testament scriptures inside and out. As a Pharisee, there was two major groups, Pharisees, Sadducees. The Pharisees, they prided themselves on being separated from all the other people. It was, how separated can we be for God? He comes to Jesus by night. He calls him a rabbi, which is a teacher. And it's as if he's trying to put the pieces together about who Jesus is. Because he says, I know you're, we know, everybody's talking, you are a teacher from God, if we're honest. Nobody can do those miracles, those signs that you do, except God be with him. And he's trying to figure out, where does Jesus fit in his religious paradigm? In other words, is he a prophet? Is he religious? He didn't think he was a prophet. But the point is, how does he fit there? Jesus begins this discussion with him, and I just want to highlight it a little bit. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is born spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Well, the theme is born again. He's not there to fit in this man's religious paradigm. He's there to help him understand how and the importance of being born again. If you notice what I read, Jesus said born again. We think about going to heaven, going to the kingdom, all of that, things we do, we're religious. That's not what Jesus said. He said to see the kingdom of God, verse 3, you have to be born again. He says to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born again. He says, you shouldn't be surprised at me saying you must be born again. Well, it goes on, and Nicodemus asks some clarification points. And Jesus' big answer is there's a physical birth and a spiritual birth. He says, I'm talking about stuff on this earth, being born again on this earth, and you can't even understand that. He's going to say that in a minute. So Nicodemus asked, he's going to ask, how can these things be in verse 9? Let me continue reading. The wind bloweth where it listeth, this is Jesus talking, thou heareth the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, said unto him, how can these things be? How can it be this way? I wonder if he asked, like, how can this be? Or he was opposed to it. Maybe he's like, I don't understand. How can it be? I think it was more of the, how can this be? I don't understand. And Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel and knoweth not these things? In other words, you're a master, you're a teacher, and you don't understand these basic things I'm talking about? We can be very religious, very intelligent, very astute with the world, and not get the basics. This man had a whole lot of book learning, but not a lot of smarts, with the key thing he needed to know of being born again. That also tells me the most basic of basic is being born again. He says, you're a master. You're not a novice. You're a master. You know the scriptures inside and out, and you don't know these things? It's as if Jesus is saying, you don't. Wait a minute. You're Nicodemus. You're one of the 70. You're one of the ones that everybody gets answers from, but you don't know the answer to this basic thing or understanding about being born again. Remember, if you want to go to heaven. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God, cannot see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel and knowest thou not these things? Maybe you're religious. Maybe you joined a church. We just celebrated Christmas, December 25th. The Orthodox are going to start celebrating Christmas this week. All of us celebrated the birth of Jesus if you celebrated Christmas. But I wonder if you really understood the key point of being born again. Or do you think you're going to see and enter the kingdom of God by being religious? Don't sing those Christmas songs without realizing you got to be born again. Jesus then goes into something in verse 11. He says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Verily, verily is a very important term in John. It's to highlight something. In other words, pay attention to this. He had mentioned in verse 51, he said, Verily, verily, when he's talking to Nathanael, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven opened and the angels of God descending and ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Well, now he says, Verily, verily, again, pay attention to this. What I'm going to tell you, Nicodemus, we speak that we do know. I know what I'm talking about, Nicodemus. And testify to what we have seen. I've seen it, Nicodemus. You don't receive, and ye receive not our witnesses. Many people think possibly there John moves into maybe he's giving his commentary, but I think it's just Jesus. We're talking, the disciples, the prophets, all the scripture, everything, they all testify to this, and you're not willing to receive it. In John 1:12, he had said, if you receive, John 1:12, it says, But as many receive him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Hear what Jesus says. He says, pay attention, verily, verily, and you not receive my witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? I've been telling basic concepts, Jesus says, born again, born physically, born spiritually, born again. You got to get and see the kingdom of God by being born again. I mean, that's basic stuff. You can't even understand. And then if I talk about spiritual heavenly things, oh my, you're not going to be able to understand. You got to understand these things. I forgot verse 8 is a great answer to those. Say, I can't feel, I can't see it. Well, Jesus had already said in John chapter 1 to Nathanael, he says, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels ascending. Verse 50, sorry, of chapter 1. Because I say unto thee, I saw thee under the tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than thee. In other words, there's greater things coming if you'll believe. Well, now he's saying you can't even believe this. How are you going to believe heavenly stuff? Let me lay it out for you. No man has ascended up to heaven. Okay, there were false teachers going all over the place saying it's spiritual enlightenment and all these different views on reaching heaven by people that seem to have an avenue to heaven. But Jesus says no man's done it. There's only one, but he that came down from heaven, only one person, even the Son of Man, that comes from Daniel chapter 9, about the Son of Man as a being who would have authority, which is in heaven. He says there's one that came down from heaven. Basically, he's talking about himself. Now we jump into John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that comes from Numbers 21. Moses is the prophet. He's out in the desert. And the people are dying from snakes. They're being punished for their disobedience and their rebellion. But if they look to the staff of Moses, they would be saved. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whenever it talks about that in John, it's always talking about the cross. Jesus, in about 3 years from this text, would be lifted up. 2 years, 3 years. He's talking about him dying on a cross. Go on. That whosoever, open to anybody, believeth on in him should not perish. Now, wait a minute. What is perish? Perish would be the idea that you're not going to end up in the kingdom of God, contextually, or what he's talking about. Because remember, he didn't get a religious discussion. He's trying to get Nicodemus to see the spiritual reality. Spiritual reality is getting into seeing, experiencing the kingdom of God. Perishing would be out of that. They call that hell. They call that not. The God is not there. You don't want to end up there. He's like, you're not going to be perish. You're going to possess eternal life, a relationship with God. So many people try to fill up their spiritual life with physical, and it won't do it because we are eternal. We are going to go to two places. We'll either perish and be apart from God or with God for eternity. And the idea, you always feel empty unless you fill it up with Christ. Then John gives commentary. He's laid out this discussion. And now he's going to build on a couple points. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, the eternal life is possible because God loved the world and showed his love by giving his only begotten Son. Romans 5:8 is a neat verse, and it says this. It says, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God showed his love, expressed his love. What? In that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Powerful, powerful stuff. He says that whosoever believeth, there it is again, remember verse 15, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 16, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Life that goes on and on. Believing in him, believing in Christ. Not believing in my religion. For God sent not his Son. So we've talked about the need to be born again. You've got to be born again. Then he just laid out, how do you do that? By believing in the Son. Now he's going to lay out a little bit more about the reality apart from the Son. We have a need to be born again. We have a way to be born again through believing. But then the third point is we have a reality that puts us in the face that we're condemned. And here's what it says. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn or to judge the world. Now, one day, Jesus will return and judge the world. It says that in John. John 5:22. Over just a couple chapters, here's what Jesus says. For the Father judgeth no man, but has committed all judgment unto his Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. He's going to judge the world in his second coming. But in his first coming, he didn't come to judge. Now, before we get off and say, well, you know, because we're not supposed to judge, that's not what it says. He's going to explain, John is going to explain in this chapter what is meant by being under condemnation and judging. But he says, but that verse 17, but that the world through him might be saved to eternal life. If someone is judged, they're either judged incorrectly, unrighteous, or maybe falsely, or they're judged accurately. Doesn't matter how much you reject that Christ, reject the idea, you go for a judge, I didn't do it, I didn't, but you really did it. Well, you're guilty. Now we're going to see the foundation also, not just the need to be born again, the way to be born again is by believing the reality of believing in the Son, but now we're going to see the reasoning behind saying the perish point. So if you've had this preconceived notion that God doesn't judge and all, let's base it on what John says right here. Let's look at this. He that believeth on him is not condemned. So someone
In fact, John 5:24 has always been one of my favorite verses. John 5:24. Here's what it says. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. You're not going to be judged. And that's what John says in verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But now let's talk about the people that don't believe on him. Look at what it says. But he that believeth not is condemned already. If you've not believed in Christ, you are in a state of judgment. You're in a state of being guilty. Romans 3 says you're guilty for the whole world because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, the unique one, the only one. There's not another one. Son of God, it calls Jesus right there, Son of God. Name is all he is. So if you've rejected Christ, according to the words of John here, you're in a state of judgment. Now he's going to explain what judgment is. Listen to this. And this is the condemnation, or this is the judgment. That light has come into the world. If you were with me about a month ago, I think we went over this, but it says in John chapter 1, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. Verse number 9 of chapter 1. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, the world knew him not. In other words, the light shines in darkness. He says the judgment is this. Light is come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light. They don't like everything that Christ represents because their deeds are evil. Deeds. The deeds reveal what you think about God. If I do all this sin, it shows I don't really have a respect for God. I don't have a fear of God. I love, but it says they do their deeds. And then he continues about talking about sin. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Don't sing a Christmas song, or Christian song about how awesome Jesus is. Jesus, and then be doing evil. Evil is the word for worthless there. When you're not doing things of God, you're doing things that will burn up. They don't have eternal value. Neither cometh to the light. So why does it happen? Lest his deeds should be reproved. First of all, the reason people don't believe, John is saying here, is because they don't want their deeds to be judged or be rebuked or be shown. But he that doeth the truth, act faithfully, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. He says, what does your life show? Does your life, my life, does it show that we are in God or not? Well, look at what you're doing, your deeds. He says one group of people are doing worthless things, evil things, and it's going to be shown. One group of people are doing bad, the good things, and it'll be shown. Ultimately, the reason someone believes or not and is born again is what do they believe about their sin? And John is saying everyone sins. And everyone apart from God are in judgments. We don't. He's trying to be very forceful in his assertion of why you need to be born again. Why do you need to believe in the name of the Son? Why? Because if you don't, you stand in condemnation. So I think as you think about that, you need to ask yourself, do you believe in Jesus? Do you? He started with this religious discussion, and then he immediately didn't keep up with that religious discussions. In other words, Nicodemus comes in for religious discussion, and he doesn't bite. He's more interested in Nicodemus. Are you born again? Born spiritually? Have you believed in the only Son? And if you don't, you're going to stand condemned. And so it's an invitation for all of us to ask ourselves, do we believe in Christ? Do we believe in Christ? It's an important, John would say, that's the question. Eternal life is not about just going to heaven and being with God for eternity. Of course it is, but it's also about a wonderful relationship we have here on this earth. And we have this wonderful hope that David Phelps sang about, that one day Jesus will return and take us home. And the world there will be amazing. There's a song by Wayne Watson and Sandy Patty in the early 90s, I think late 80s, called Another Time, Another Place. And I want to play that now and think about that. And I think you will, it will excite you. And we'll go right into another old hymn that will encourage you to remember what John is writing about, that we do need to believe in Jesus and not stand condemned and not encounter being perished, but let's encounter being with God forever in another time, another place, and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, who's given us eternal life, if we will but believe.
Another place. Oh. some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Yeah, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Love that song. I love, love, love that song because it reminds us that one day it will all be made new in Christ. We've looked at John 3 today. I wanted to also share a couple other verses at the end of the book, John chapter 20. There's 21 chapters, but I want to hone in on two verses, chapter 20, verse 30 and 31. But many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, Jesus did a lot more miracles. In chapter 21, he says, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, this is 20, chapter 21, 25, if they should be written, everyone, I suppose that even the world itself cannot contain the books that should be written. Amen. He did these, we only have about 7 miracles in John, really, that he did, 35 total in all the Gospels, except for they'll mention he healed a lot, drove out demons. That's many, many more, but specifically where they explain about the miracle, 35. The point he's doing them is to reveal who he is, 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and then believing he may have life through his name. The purpose of John is that they would have life through his name. That's just so true. We can have life through his name. Do you have life through Jesus' name? Well, if you believed in him, you do. Believe he died for you, rose from the dead, his death, burial, and resurrection. We have hope. I hope you're praying and you're excited and you'll tell others, let others know about this radio station. I want to see it grow. APradio.org is the radio station. I click on it right here. I'm going to click on it right now. So I go APradio.org. And what do I see? It's booting up KSDP 830 AM Sandpoint. And there's other call letters, of course, but it's just a really great website with a lot of information. I know they're working on updating it, but look at this. You've got Alaska Board of Fisheries and the news community window. You're going to have the basketball games, fishing in the loop, employment opportunities. There's all kinds of wonderful. And of course, you can click on that little icon that listen to it live. So and you've got the sponsors. Just a great, great website, and you can listen to that, or you can listen at home on your radio where it goes out to different places, but it's apradio.org. It'd be great to have you check that out. This has been Dr. Matthew Broman, the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska. We've been on the Hour of Hope, and we've been focusing on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We looked at John chapter 3. We didn't get to finish it. We will next week. But the key thing is, remember, you've got to be born again to enter and see the kingdom of God. It has to believe, you do that by believing in Christ. And the real need is because you're under condemnation. Life's there, but you've got to trust Christ. You've got to believe in him. With that, let's have some more wonderful music send us out. Let me close in prayer and say thank you again for being with me on the Hour of Hope. Let me pray. Father, thank you for everyone that's listening. I pray for those that haven't made the decision, they would make that decision. We pray for a special blessing in the Orthodox Church with their Christmas coming up, and that everyone, just like the Protestant, would think about the baby born in Bethlehem, and have I believed in him? Thank you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll say Merry Christmas to the Orthodox and a Happy New Year to all. This has been Pastor Matthew Broman on Hour of Hope. I'll see you next week. Bye.
watching.